We're going to be spending our summer mostly in the book of 1 Corinthians, so you can turn there, you can open the Bible app and follow along on the events page in there, all the verses we'll be looking at this morning. But we talk about this whole topic called the Unstoppable Church, and a reminder to us that we are part of the greatest movement in the history of the world. If you've never understood that about the church, you're going to be open to that this series. We are a part of the greatest movement in the history of the world. Of all the things we like to talk about, the church is the greatest movement in the history of the world, and you and I are part of that. And Christianity is always one generation from becoming extinct, from it not being passed on, from not leading people into a growing relationship with Christ. And we have this huge advantage for what's been given to us and the technology we have and the accessibility we have to Scripture that just over and over again opens up to us. So we have the great advantage, and we are part of this incredible movement. And remember, we said that Jesus, when he first launched this whole idea after Peter said, you know, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, he says, you are Peter, upon this rock, I will build my church. That's just a reminder to all of us, it's not our church, it's not ours to build, it's ours to partner with Jesus in what he is doing in this thing called the local church. And so last week we left you with this picture, okay, of closed hand, open hands. That closed hand is a picture of I'm an owner, it's mine, and open hand is I'm free to receive and I'm free to give. That the picture that the Scripture gives us of the church is it's not mine to own, it is mine to steward, it's mine to be a part of, it's mine to freely receive and freely give. And if we can get a hold of this picture, it'll help us totally change the way we think about church. And it all started in this first verse where it says, I am writing to God's church in Corinth, Paul said, to you who have been called by God to be his own holy people, he made you holy by means of Christ Jesus. So this morning I'm going to talk about identity, because that's really the next place he goes. And for all the protection you may or may not have bought, pretending on how much fear you have that your information is on the dark web getting stolen, okay, whether or not you believe that or not is how much you have probably protected yourself, got a service like LifeLock in order to make sure that identity theft doesn't happen. Identity theft has been going on since the beginning. It actually started in the garden all the way in Genesis chapter 3, where all Satan has to do is get Adam and Eve to believe what? God is holding back on you. Your true identity is found in what God doesn't want you to have. And he gets them to what? Disobey, walk away from God, and thus starts everything that we see in a broken, fallen world. And so you need to know identity theft is not something new. It's not something we have now because of the internet, because of credit cards. It is something that started a long time ago. And for most of us, we struggle with this thing called identity. With what is our identity found in and put in. And so this morning, I just want to kind of hit a few groups. These are not true of everybody, but these are true of most people. So men, I'm going to start with us, okay? Our identity is so often found in work. In our work is where we find basically our identity, okay? Do you know how I introduce myself to people? I'm Pastor Ed. I take my job, it becomes my title, and it becomes the main way I introduce myself to people. It happens all the time. And you just need to know, pastors are the worst at this, okay? I can't tell me how many guys I know who go, you know what? I'm going to be preaching until the day I die. And some of them really try it, okay? They really absolutely try it. You know why? Because that's their identity. My identity is I'm a pastor, and I don't know how to do anything apart from this identity, okay? So you just need to know if this ever happened to you and your identity has gotten all caught up in your work, I'm the worst, okay? We're the worst. Pastors, we're the worst at this. So the rest of you, okay, you're probably going to struggle with this because we struggle with this. Where all of a sudden, okay, you like that work life. You get some respect in that work life. You get some honor in that work life, okay? And you come home and it's crazy and it's chaotic. But work, you're in charge and you're loud and proud and everybody knows who you are. And you begin to find your identity there. And all of a sudden, guess what? You spend more time at work than any place else. That becomes the place you find your identity. Retirement is a dirty word, right, that you never want to hear because I don't know how to do that. If I stop working, I will lose who I am. And it happens, and for most of us, guys, we struggle with this because our identity is all tied up in our work. And it's where we find the basis of who we are. Ladies, it's a little different for you. And again, this is not true of everybody, but it's true of most. That your identity is found in your family, okay? This is why you say things like, I'm always a mama, okay? Always a mom. You are always a mom. It doesn't matter if your kid is 35, 40 years old. You're their mom, okay? And you're going to stop some things, and you're going to tell them certain things, right? And what is the worst day for you? The day the kids move out, okay? All the husbands are like, this is awesome, okay? And the wives are, no, don't leave, right? And that happens. Why? Because if you're not careful, your identity is all wrapped up in your kids. That's why what your kids do right or wrong embarrasses you at times. You're like, oh, you're not my kid if you do that, okay? You're not my son if you do that. You're not my daughter if you do that. Why? Because our identity is all wrapped up in our family and in our kids. And we struggle with that. And if we're not careful, that becomes the primary seat of identity for us, and it becomes a huge problem. Again, if we're just not careful, that will happen. For all the young adults in the room, do you know what happened with social media? All of a sudden, identity got found in likes. Okay? Do you know, and I just found this out this week, I was watching, somebody was talking about this, that Instagram is trying to figure out how to change what it does. Because it mistakenly fell into something, and that is all the wrong things are getting liked, and they get liked a lot, and they get promoted the most, and they're trying to figure out how to take likes out of all their things so that you can't like stuff, so that you're not basing your identity on likes. They're trying to figure this out because they see it as a problem that people are doing things in order to get likes. Sometimes illegal things, sometimes immoral things, sometimes just really, really bad things that they shouldn't be doing, but they want the likes. They want the likes. And if you're not careful, your identity is all going to be wrapped up in how many likes you get. And your life all of a sudden is going to be based on, doesn't have any worth, based on how many likes I really have. Hey, for all our students in the room, so often your identity is found in your grades. You might have got a C in math, doesn't mean you're a C. Okay? This is what happens, and this is the struggle as parents. You're trying to help your kids do their best without getting so wrapped up in grades, that's where they find their identity. We have a lot of kids walking around just thinking they're failures, they're losers. Why? Because they got a D in algebra. Everybody gets a D in algebra, okay? Except for a certain percentage that, okay? We all do, okay? It's just, it's hard, it's difficult, right? And your teacher probably said, one day you will use it. I'm waiting for the day, okay? I'm serious. Now, some of you are going to email me later. Go for it, okay? Tell me how I use it, because I can't figure it out. But I saw you're going to use it every day, and I'm awful at it. Terrible at it, okay? That's why I don't do anything with math, okay? It works well. And pastors, we can't add. That's why we just, you know, make up statistics about how many people go to church. That's what we do, okay? Because we're terrible at math. So now you know the secret. So, right? That's what happened. Your identity all of a sudden is found in your grades. And if you're not careful, we put this on our kids. And we make them feel like their identity and their worth is all tied up in what their report card says. While trying to get them to do their best, and it's a huge struggle. And if they're not careful, their identity is going to be all wrapped up in their grades. So I want you to see this section of scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 for a few moments this morning, and then I want to kind of make this specific application since we're dedicating babies and talk about parenting for a moment this morning. But here's what Paul is going to write to them, because he needs to get them to understand where their identity needs to be. Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes, or powerful, or wealthy when God called you, okay? Your grades weren't that good, okay? You're not on the city council. You don't have huge sums of money sitting in the bank when God called you, because he's pulling them away from that. Wait a minute. Your identity isn't in that. Your identity isn't in your grades. Your identity isn't in, do you hold a seat of power? It's not in how much money you've got sitting in the bank. It is about what? God calling you. I used this last week, and I'm probably going to come back to it often, because I think you and I need to remember this, that the most important thing in the world is your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you miss this, you miss everything. This is the source of primary identity. And that's why he said, you want any of this? Why are you getting all tied to this? This is who you are. In Jesus, this is who you are. Your personal relationship with him is the most important thing. Don't ever give that up. Don't ever substitute that out. Don't ever just give up on that for something else. That is the most important thing. He continues, instead, God chose things that they considered foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. Okay? So don't get your identity all in that, because God has a much different system of picking things. Go all the way back to the Old Testament and find this. Right? That when they looked at Saul, they looked at him and said, "What? Wow, this is an impressive guy, right? Strong, big, tall, dark, handsome. Okay, he checks all the boxes. He must be going to do the right thing." Yeah, it went well, okay? The guy after God's heart is much different, okay? He's so unimpressive that his father can't even call him in when the prophet shows up to anoint somebody in his family. Okay. Oh, there's a youngest. Yeah, he's out in the field somewhere. Haven't seen him for days. Really, you know, he's the youngest. He don't matter. Because in that culture, it didn't. But it mattered to God, because God sees things so differently. That's why you can't look around and try to find your identity. Because the world will put a price on you that is ridiculous. And it's low. And it will give you no value. And God says, you have value. You have worth. You have significance in me. He says, don't you understand that God does this all the time? So don't get caught up in how the world is grading people and how it is identifying people. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. He's going to do this over and over again. Go to the book of Acts and just read some of the early things where they just looked at the disciples and like, who are you? You guys didn't make it. You're not rabbis. How are you teaching all this? How are you doing all of this? And because why? Because the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the rulers just looked at them and said, you're nothing. And God says, you're everything. And he chose them and he used them. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. That's what God does. He does some amazing things. As a result, and this is what he's reminding them, as a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God. Now we can think, oh, I knew you're great. No, God is great. And he has done some amazing things. And he reaches down and he calls us and he says, I love you. Find your identity in me. Find your worth in me. And when you do, everything works out. Everything goes different. You see yourself different. You see the world different. You see the family different. And it all becomes a gift from God. It says, God has united you with Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made him to be wisdom himself. God made us right with God. He made us pure and holy, and he freed us from sin. Now, why did he do that? Because we were impressive? No. No, because he chose to do that for us. He chose to give us worth, significance, and value. He chose to do all of that. Therefore, as the scripture says, if you want to boast, boast only about the Lord. Because he's impressive, and he's incredible, and he gives us our identity. Identity is so huge that if parents, we don't get parenting right, we end up not helping our kids find their identity in Christ. And so what I'd like to do is I just like to help us as parents in the room, okay? If you're grandparents, you can, you know, right, encourage your kids in this. Our primary identity must be as a child of God. And there's all sorts of ways that we parents, okay, that look good, that sound good, that, you know, maybe that's because that's what we saw in our house growing up, that I'm telling you are going to hurt your kids finding their primary identity as a child of God. So I want to kind of hit these things this morning, okay? This is not for you to nudge one another and say you're that. If you really don't know by the time I'm done showing these and talking about these, may I offer a suggestion? Maybe on the way home, maybe later this afternoon, you'd say, honey, I don't know which one I am, Okay? Now, let me just, when you do this, you're going to hear something you don't want to hear. I'm just going to warn you, okay? You're going to hear something you don't want to hear, and that's not when you argue with them and say, no, I'm not that at all, okay? That's when you say, okay, I accept that. Now I know where I'm drifting, okay? So here we go. The first one is the snowplow parents, okay? You think your responsibility is to clear everything out of the way for your kids. Okay, to make sure they have every opportunity, okay, that coach won't put them in the game, well, we'll watch that coach get fired, okay, we will move every opportunity. In fact, we are seeing this on a national level, right? Lori Loughlin, okay, if you're like, who is that? If you've ever watched Full House, Fuller House, Aunt Becky, what did she do? Come here, college, okay, I'm going to offer you bribes and money because I need my kids to get in there, okay? Not sure if they can do it themselves. We're going to bribe you to make sure it happens. And we got this huge scandal unfolding. Why? Because we have snowplow parents who are like, no, my kid's going to go to USC. I don't care if they flunked every student class. They're going to Stanford, Yale, Harvard, wherever they're going to go, okay? And we will remove every obstacle out of their way. And the problem is then all of a sudden our kids don't understand their identity because we're too busy moving and pushing aside roadblocks for them. The karaoke parents, okay? You think you need to be like your kids so you can be friends with your kids, okay? So you're listening to their music and, you know, you are, you know, trying to dress like them or sound like them or act like them, and right, because you think if I'm just their friend, I will get through. That they don't need, okay? They have friends. They need parents. They need parents. Do you know why Snapchat was invented? Because all of us went to Facebook and our kids went, okay? I'm not being on social media with my parents, no way, okay? So they all went and invented something else and are on something else, and you're like, I don't get this. Yeah, I know, that's why we don't get it. We don't get it because they don't want to be in the same place with us at times. They don't need you to be their friends. They need you to lead them. They need you to direct them. They need you to lead them into that growing relationship with Christ. Okay? So the snowplow parent, we have the karaoke parents. We have the dry cleaner parents. You know what that is? Here you go, Pastor Ryan. Good luck. Okay? I'm done with them. I don't know what to do. Okay? I'll pick them up when they graduate. Okay? Okay? This is what we have quite often, right? The church... Boy, the church better do something because I don't know. And maybe if I just come and drop them off, okay, and the church cleans them up a little bit and you know, scares some of the hell out of them, then it'll be good. They'll be better. And maybe that will work. I'm telling you, this is what happens all the time. We just drop our kids off, not engage with them, hoping that the church will do something. That is why we see this all the time here. We do. We see a lot of kids who we never see their parents. Why? Well, church is good for my kids. It might help them. It might direct them. For me, I don't think so. If I drop them off, maybe that will help. And so we become dry cleaner parents, hoping that somebody else, when we drop them off, will help them and work with them. And it's just an opportunity for us not to engage. The volcano parents, okay, they know. That's why they hide stuff. Because you're going to explode, okay? And when you explode, it goes everywhere, and it affects a lot of people. And you're the one that, you know, you're just angry when stuff happens. You have certain expectations, and maybe you're quiet for the most part, but boy, when they do something, look out. There you go. And you're off, and you're an explosion, and, you know, you are just angry and upset at what's going on. And again, you're not engaging them, you're not helping them. All they've learned is to be scared of you and to hide stuff from you. That's all they've learned, okay? Let's make sure dad or mom doesn't find out because we don't want that, okay? I'm sick of that, I'm sick of having that, I'm sick of dealing with that. And so they're hiding stuff and they're staying away from you. Why? Because they know to engage you leads to this. And they don't want this anymore. The last one's the ostrich who buries their head in the sands, right? I don't have a chance anyway. I give up. Okay, I'm just going to ignore everything that's going on and hope that somehow they end up right. Bury your head in the sand. Forget about it. Now, you will find that you are one of those five things. And again, if you're like, you really don't know, go home, ask your spouse, lovingly have a conversation, okay? Don't be like, you have no idea, really? Really, let's talk about it, okay? Be nice, be gracious, help one another, because this is all these things that we end up being, sometimes we end up being this because it's the way our parents were, is not going to help our kids find their primary identity as a child of God, and it is not the best way to parents. May I offer a better picture for us, of perhaps what parenting should look like, and remind us that we have to lead our kids? I like this picture. This seems like a better picture. That we have to engage and help and lead our kids into a growing relationship with Christ and help them in the areas they're struggling with and engage with them, okay? And that means reaching down and helping them come up. Because you know what we're ultimately doing? We're raising future adults. We're raising future adults. And we have to help them get to the place where we are at. And that doesn't work by burying your head in the sand, and it doesn't happen by exploding, and it doesn't happen by all the other ways we looked at that are just destructive. It really helps when we make a decision that it's my responsibility, I'm the parent, to lead my kids into a growing relationship with Christ. You need to know that you are a child of God. This will help your primary identity. This will help you understand that you're a parent. It'll help you understand your role. And your job is to lead your kids into a growing relationship with Christ. And that's all wrapped up in this thing called identity. And when we miss it, I'm just telling you, we miss everything. And so this morning, I just wanted to remind us of that. Because I think Paul does a beautiful job there just saying, hey, stop looking around. Stop looking around. I know they have this house and they bought this and they have this. And we live in this land of comparison where there's just no win. There's no chance when we get caught up in it. And he just calls us, no. Remember, where's your primary identity? You are a child of God. You're a child of God. For all the parents in the room, that means we lead our kids into a growing relationship with Christ. We help them succeed. We don't stand back. We don't blow. We don't bury our head in the sands. We don't try to be their friend. We don't do any of that. So we don't drop them off. We engage. We ask God to help us to understand that we are a child of God, that we want our kids to understand that, and to reach down and help them get to the place that we are. As we transition out of that, I want to pray together this morning and just ask that you would just ask God to remind you of that. Because I'm telling you, wherever you fall in your season of life, male, female, parents, whatever, your identity is wrapped up in something. And if it's not wrapped up in being a child of God, it's disastrous. You're going to find yourself doing some odd things at times. You're like, why did I do that? Because our identity just gets off of being found in Jesus. So I want to pray for us this morning that we would find that, and then we'll move forward. Dear Heavenly Father, would you help us this morning? We live in a broken, messed up world in which the enemy early on stole an identity. And he steals ours. And Father, we just admit this morning, we're messed up. We all have a tendency to find our identity in something else other than you, and it always creates a mess. It always is disastrous. And there we are doing it again and again and again and again and again. So this morning, we just ask you to help us to remember again today, for those of us who have a personal relationship with you, I am a child of God. That is my primary source of identity. I am loved. I am accepted. God has done so many things for me. Would you help us to embrace that so that we can be better parents and help our kids find their identity in you, and lead them and extend our hand and bring them up and lead them into a growing relationship with you. We pray you'd remind us of this We pray that you'd help us to engage, show us what type of destructive way we are parenting so that we would go in a new direction and be the parents you've called us to be. We ask you to work in a powerful way in our hearts and our lives and in our homes. In Jesus' name, amen. As we transition to our baby dedication, we have a video for you to watch. Kind of shows you our four babies we are dedicating today, so watch this. Families to come forward and be a part of our dedication this morning. So grandparents, aunt, uncles, you're all involved. Welcome to come up, be involved in that. We're just going to ask you to come up here for this part of our service this morning. this, you can actually trace it in Scripture back to the story that song was based on, the story of Hannah and Samuel, where Hannah longed for a baby, and then when that baby is born, offers that baby to God, and Samuel was one of the highest integrity people in all of Scripture. It's just an amazing story. And it is not the first place, there's many others where you see people offering what they have to God and just doing it in an incredible way of worship and saying, God, this is yours, and I just ask you to do something with this life. And so in doing that, we're not just saying, okay, God, good luck, do something with them. We are actually saying, what? God, this child is yours. So that's where this comes from. It's a symbolic step that we do together just to reflect on that our kids are a gift from God, and that we offer them up to the Lord. So, we have Casey and Patrick and Ezra and Gunnar this morning, and we are just going to do a couple different challenges. One to the parents that we're going to ask you to just affirm with us this morning. One to the grandparents and other family members who are joining you today, and then as to us as a congregation, because we get the opportunity to partner with families to help them in their goal. That's why we do what we do here. That's why we have things like Wednesday nights. Okay, to partner, not to be drop-offs, but to partner with them in leading them into a growing relationship. Okay, let me start with the parents. Parents this morning. Do you parents promise in the presence of God, your friends, your family, and this church body to do your best to instill in your child the values and teachings that will lead your children to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you promise to pray daily for your children? Do you also promise to entrust them to God's care and offer him or her to God for his service and ministry? If so, would you just answer together, I will?
I will.
Okay, and this is going to involve grandparents, aunts, uncles. This is great. This is great. Okay, so do you promise extended family in the presence of God, your friends, your family, this church body, to do your best to encourage these parents, these family members, as they are bringing up your grandchildren, your niece, your nephew, in the training and instruction of the Lord, that you will pray for them as well, and you will be a support and encouragement to them? And if so, would you just answer, extended family members, I will?
I will.
Okay, church family, would you stand up if you would? Because we have a role in this. In our giving, in our serving, we have a role in partnering with them. So we're going to, vow before God the same thing. Do you, friends and members of the Union Northern Christian Church, promise to commit your time, resources, and prayer to partner with these parents in such a way that their children will come to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and grow desire to serve God? If so, would you answer, I will. All right. Let's pray together this morning. Father, this is a wonderful opportunity that we have to recognize that our children are a gift from you. And with gifts, we open our hands and we offer them to you and ask you to do something incredible in their lives. And Father, as we do that, we just offer them to you, ask you to work in a powerful way. We start with Gunnar, and we just pray, Father, for his life, that he would come to know you as his Savior, that you would use him in a powerful way. And Father, that you would do something great and powerful and awesome in his life, that he would know that he is a child of the one true King, that he is a child of God. Would you, Father, bless him and use him? Father, for little Ezra, we pray the same thing, that Ezra would come to know you as his Savior, that you would use him, that you would call him, that you would remind him that he is a child of God. We just pray for him that, again, you would do something awesome and powerful and incredible in his life. Father, for little Patrick, we pray that Patrick would know you as his Savior, that he would grow to love you and serve you, that you would, again, lead him to know that he is a child of God, that he would have a personal relationship with you. and that you would do something awesome and powerful and incredible in his life. And we pray that for Casey as well, for little Casey, that you would do something incredible in her life, that she would know that she is a daughter of God, she would come to know you as her Savior and grow in relationship with you, that you would do something awesome and incredible in her life. And Father, we offer these children to you. They are gifts from you, and we offer them to you now, and we ask you to work powerfully in their lives. Would you remind us of as a church, when we give and when we serve, we are partnering with these parents. May we pray, may we give, may we serve to do that today. Father, just bless them, bless their extended family, work in them, help them understand where they might be destructive as parents and not helping their kids find their identity in you, that they would truly lead their kids in a growing relationship with you. We offer them to you now, Father, and we thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Matt, did you get my picture? Okay. You can all head back to your seat. Thank you.